Can I do that?
Yeah, sure.
You didn't tell me I couldn't.
No, go ahead.
Ta-da, we're back, guys. It's True Crime on Easy Street. My name is Scott Wright. I am a mediocre journalist.
Kelly Turner, not a doctor. Katie Givens, not a lawyer.
Kelly has a bunch of stuff in her hands.
Bunch.
Is it a lot? We're doing something a little bit different today.
Not really.
Kelly will explain. Well, yeah, I guess not so different.
Yeah, it's not different.
But not the typical fare.
Right.
Something that we've done before. You will explain.
Yeah.
Let me bow out of the way. Go. Run. Well,
why don't Scott's got his sunglasses on?
Why
today
don't you do
one?
Yeah, oh, yeah, he does. Yeah.
Sorry. I can't see without them or with them.
Why don't you give us your updates?
Yeah. So a couple of weeks ago, we were supposed to talk about this and we didn't. Okay. Because we got all wrapped up in the whole Will Bailey story about how his father knows Cornelia Wallace's son in Florida. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But I was supposed to tell all of you that Leslie Van Houten was recently paroled in California after over 50 years served on a life sentence because she was one of Charles Manson's followers, acolytes.
In the family.
Yeah. And she finally got out of prison. So she... the last story that I read, she is in the process of learning how to use a cell phone.
Wow. Well, yeah.
The internet.
That's a lot of stuff. Just over 50 years, yeah.
Uber is a word that she is not familiar with.
No. Mm-mm.
Nor is Twitter or Facebook or any of the other things that all of us throw around every week on this show. Leslie Van Houten is learning all of that stuff in a halfway house somewhere in California right now.
Now, was Leslie Van Houten the one that we talked about that still sort of was very much into Charles, and or was she the one who was saying I was wrong?
She was the one who was saying that I was wrong. She sat in the car the first night.
Okay.
When Sharon Tate and her four friends were murdered.
Yes.
The next night she actually participated, Leslie Van Houten did.
Okay, yes.
In the LaBianca murders.
LaBianca's, yes. Okay.
But according to the story that she told, it was after the crime had taken place, and they insisted that she also participate in the crime.
Gotcha. Scott's currently making a stabbing motion.
Yeah, we all stabbed these people, you have to stab them too.
Gotcha. Okay, now, who's left incarcerated from the Manson family? Anybody?
That may be it.
Everybody
she
dead.
May be the last one. Well, you know, that's the one thing that I never saw mentioned in the story at all, if there is anyone else. Squeaky Fromm is dead, I think.
Charles is dead.
Charles died in 2017 at the age of 83 or 86.
Can't remember.
In prison.
Yeah.
I think that might be everyone. There might be one other.
What about
Katie?
Tex
is digging as hard as she can right now.
Well, I thought there were two of them still in prison.
I think
Tex. Which Tex?
Tex Watson. Is he still alive? If he is, he's in prison somewhere because he committed the Sharon Tate murders.
Yes, yes.
For the most part.
Yes, he did. And then the one they called Sexy Sadie, what's...
She, I don't know.
Okay.
We don't know about
those two, but probably...
No, maybe we should have just not even mentioned this. No more homework than we did.
If they are not incarcerated, they've probably passed away.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not... They haven't been paroled.
Right, this is the only... Is this the first that's been paroled?
Yes.
I think Leslie Van Houten is the first Manson follower to have ever been granted parole.
Yep. Oh, well, we don't know. Yeah. We don't know what's going on with
the
other two.
Moving
along.
Figure
it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
But she's been paroled, and so far all is well. She's in a halfway house, so it's not like she was paroled and just put on a bus.
Yeah. Turned loose into society.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
That's all I have.
That's wild, though. 50 years. I mean,
can you imagine? Just
so much has happened in the last 50 years.
Being disconnected from social, what we would call today social media. I mean, there was certainly not a thing when she was around. There were three TV channels and a lot of newspapers. Today, not so much.
I mean, you can live without it. I mean, she lived without it for 50 years. True. You can live without it, but we don't want to. We don't choose to.
That's one way to look at it.
I think social media and a lot of these technological advances have improved life for the most part. But it's like anything else. People use it for good and for evil.
Sure. So, like anything else.
Anything else. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
All right.
Well.
That's all I have.
Okay. Well, we'll follow
The show, the Motown Review Part 2 was a huge success on Friday at Easy Street, have been told.
Mm-hmm. It was.
I did not get to attend, but one of my best friends attended, and she had a ball. She said it was fantastic.
Any names you want to drop?
Stacy.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. Did she go to the first one as well?
I don't think she did. But she definitely wanted to make this one, so probably because she didn't make the
And I said to one. Shane, you guys should keep doing this because you put all of this time into it, and the show is terrific. Yeah. And as long as you keep selling it out, he's like, yeah, we're definitely going to keep doing it. It will probably be 2024 before we do another show. Okay. Now, that's what he said to me on Thursday.
That's fine, though. That's a great...
But it's a fantastic show. If you didn't get on... Yeah. If you haven't seen it yet, it's been done twice now.
Awesome.
You want to show up at some point the next time you see those tickets are available.
Yeah. As I understand it, Katie, you were in the kitchen.
I was.
Most of the time.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
You know.
All right.
Somebody's got to work.
Were you on prep? Or were you doing the fries?
No, I run Expo.
Okay.
If you've ever worked in a kitchen.
I have not. I've seen The Bear on Hulu, and I know that Expo is, that's where you...
Yeah, I get.
Put all of the different things together and get ready to send it out. Is that correct?
The guy who looks like a weird version of Gene Wilder?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeremy Allen White.
And just think about what you just said. A weird version of Gene Wilder.
I know. I meant that. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. If they ever get ready to do the story of Gene Wilder's life, Jeremy Allen White is the guy.
He should play him. Definitely.
Who else could possibly have that look?
No one I've seen.
He's very talented, though.
Yeah. Very much so.
Nominated for an Emmy for his for the role in The Bear. He plays the guy whose nickname is The Bear.
I like Shameless. He was in Shameless.
Great in Shameless.
Yeah. So.
All right. I'm done.
Any more updates before we get to what we're doing today?
Nothing for me.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Hit it.
So we actually have an update, and that is the root of our entire story today. We are doing an update on the Delphi murders. Now, we've covered this topic 2 times.
Yeah, we did. Those are the 2 girls who went hiking.
They went, and I'm going to give you a quick recap. So you can go back and listen to those episodes that we did about the Delphi murders and then did an update. But I'm going to give you a little bit of a quick bullet point version.
I love bullet points.
Before we get to the updates. But there have been some significant updates in this case. I said when we did them the first time, I said this is solvable. Mm-hmm. I believe we are going to see this solved. I still believe that, and I believe we're well on our way. So,
All right.
Let's talk about the murders very quickly. At 1:35 p.m. on Monday, February the 13th, 2017, 13-year-old Abigail, they called her Abby Williams, and 14-year-old Liberty, they called her Libby German, were dropped off by Libby's older sister, Kelsey German. They were dropped off on County Road 300 North, which is east of the Hoosier Heartland Highway. The girls were hiking on the Monon High Bridge over Deer Creek, among woodland in remote Deer Creek Township. So we are in Indiana, Delphi, Indiana. At 2:07 p.m., Libby posted a photo of Abby walking on the bridge. That photo went viral. It's a very famous photo. You can look it up.
Yes.
If you search Delphi, it's no longer the first picture that will pop up because of our updates. But it is one of them that will pop up, and you can see her walking along the bridge. At 3:15, Libby's father, Derek, showed up to pick up the girls. That was prearranged. By 5:30 p.m., they were reported missing. Now, between 3:15 and 5:30, the family did their own search for the girls, and then they figured out, we've got a problem here. We can't get them on the phone. We can't find them. So they reported it to the police. And then the authorities were quick to act, and they have been quick to act on this case ever since. So they didn't initially suspect foul play, even though they were actively looking for the girls. But this is going to change when the bodies of the girls are found around noon on the next day. They're found about a half a mile east of the Monon High Bridge. The bodies were found on the north bank of Deer Creek. You can also Google this and see the map of where they were found versus where the bridge is. That whole area.
And if you're hearing this for the first time, when we say bridge,
it's a giant bridge.
But it's a very narrow bridge because it's an old railroad trestle.
Yes, it's
They've basically put a platform on top of a very high railroad trestle.
Yes.
So it's not like there are cars going by as these girls are walking along this bridge. This bridge is at the edge of a wooded area.
It's a big park that they will go to. And it is wooded. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's not when you think, if you think bridge in your head and you've never heard this story before, it's not a 4-lane highway.
No. And
it used to be an old railroad bridge.
Right. And typically when you walk across the bridge where the park is located, you have to turn around and walk back across the bridge to get
there's a deep gorge that this bridge crosses.
It's actually, it looks pretty dangerous. I don't think I would walk across it either. No. But, you know, it was out there in the park. A lot of people cross this bridge every day. Mm. The girls were not in school that day. It was a holiday of some sorts or a weather day or something that the school was taking. So they weren't skipping school. This was prearranged. But Libby's dad was going to pick them up, they would have had to come back across that bridge.
Which was obviously their plan to begin with.
Correct. Now, as the investigation unfolds, evidence taken from the phone of Libby will show a photo of Abby walking across the bridge. That's going to be the last time the two of them were ever seen alive. Another photo from Libby's Snapchat will surface, and that is of a man walking towards the girls dressed in a blue coat, jeans, boots, and a hat. And a recording is going to come out from the phone, and we have all heard it. The four words, guys, down the hill.
Down the hill.
And there's an entire podcast called Down the Hill that's been devoted to this case. I highly recommend that podcast if you are into this case or you want to follow it in great detail.
In more depth than we have handled it.
Absolutely.
Here.
Because as we have always said, we're the 101 version of each story, but we will tell you how you can dive deeper into it, and that's one way, and it's called Down the Hill. So then we had some new developments in 2022. On Friday, October the 28th, 2022, so from 2017 to 2022, they were taking tips, they were interviewing people, they were actively working this case. So Friday, October the 28th, 2022, a man named Richard M. Allen was arrested and charged with the murders of Libby and Abby. And this comes out of left field a little bit because he was never listed on our persons of interest. He was never listed on anyone's persons of interest. You know, we went through in our previous episodes a list of folks that really every time I would bring up someone new.
Like the property owner nearby or a creepy neighbor or something.
The guy
something.
With the tattoo that looked like Libby. I mean, it was, we had a lot, the guy who ran the Anthony Schatz Snapchat that he used a photo that was actually a Alaskan cop.
Yes.
Yeah.
I forgot about that part.
All of these people that we talked about, maybe with the exception of the property owner, as I can find, has not done anything wrong. Mm-hmm. But the folks that we went through as persons of interest should be behind bars. And a lot of them are.
Yes.
I mean, they were it's a bad group of folks.
So this is an update because I don't know this.
But Richard Allen was not a part of that. We didn't hear about Richard Allen until Friday, October the 28th, 2022. And so he is a Delphi resident and he lives 1.5 miles from the bridge. On Monday, Halloween of 2022, there was a press conference telling the world or everybody interested in this case that an arrest had been made. They sealed the probable cause affidavit, which led to all kinds of problems. People were very upset about that. In November of 2022, court was held to decide if this should remain sealed or be released to the public. Now, the judge is going to take some time on this, and the judge is going to decide to release it, but have redacted parts to it. Basically, the parts that were redacted were names of witnesses.
Yes.
What I am telling you today is that now has been unredacted.
Okay.
So we're out in the open now.
All right.
All of the witnesses are listed with the exception of three. There's 23.
Wow.
Three of them are just initials. Three of them are just initials.
That probably means they're minors.
I was going to ask you that. I had in my notes, ask Katie why. So probably, yeah, that they were on the bridge too, like the other girls. Okay, so what we knew back in 2022 was that a 40 caliber bullet was found at the crime scene. It was an unspent round with extraction markings on it, and it was found on the ground between the two girls' bodies. The bullet ended up being a perfect match for a gun owned by Richard Allen. Now, in the video taken by Libby on the day of the crime, one of the girls says gun after the bridge guy gets closer to them. Mm-hmm. So they knew from that video there was a gun. They heard a gun being, what do they call it?
Like that.
Loaded.
Yeah, it was like a... I'm going to use their phrase because, and I'll get to it. I'll get to it in a minute because I have it in my notes. So I'm not going to jump ahead. But one of the girls said gun. So eyewitnesses say they saw a man resembling Allen leaving the area that day. They described him as muddy and bloody and that he looked like he had been in a fight. Another witness reported that he was trying to cover his face. So Richard Allen admits to being there and describes why he was there, and that was simply to watch the fish. He did also say that he was on his phone there. Some people say probably to explain away, you know, they're going to get the phone records mm-hmm. and see what phones sure. were in that area. But he does say he used the phone, but he said he was there. He admitted to being there, that he was there to watch the fish. He admitted to being there during the time that they went missing.
Okay, that doesn't make him guilty just because he was there.
No, absolutely not. So then we have a new... These new documents released and unredacted on June the 27th, 2023. So here are our new developments, okay? Richard Allen was charged with two counts of murder on October the 20th, 2022, and has been housed at the Westville Correctional Facility since November 22nd, 2022. He has been put in a segregation unit for safekeeping. I'm going to reference where I got all of this. Some of this I'm going to quote directly from the documents that they released
mm-hmm.
Recently.
Okay.
Because there's no better way to say it than the documents.
Yeah.
So here's an excerpt from the newly released court documents. On April the 3rd, 2023, Richard Allen made a phone call to his wife, Kathy Allen. In that phone call, Richard Allen admits several times that he killed Abby and Libby. Investigators had the phone call transcribed, and the transcription confirms that Richard M. Allen admits that he committed the murders of Abigail Williams and Liberty German. He admits several times within the phone call that he committed the offenses as charged. His wife, Kathy Allen, ends the phone call abruptly. End quote.
So he is calling her from jail.
Yep. On April 3rd, 2023.
And guys, when you make a phone call from jail or prison or wherever you're at, the first thing that it says is, this phone call is being recorded.
Mm-hmm. Admits several times. To the point where she abruptly ended the call.
Because she knows it's being recorded.
Yeah, that's like a slam hang up. Whatever the modern version of a slam hang up is.
Yeah. So, following this phone call, the defense, doing their job, they're going to call lots of attention to Allen's mental health at this point.
What else do you do?
Exactly. Right. So they're basically saying his confession is not real due to the fact that he has a deteriorating mental health. Quote, investigators were made aware by the warden of Westville Correctional Facility that Richard M. Allen began to act strangely. Richard M. Allen was wetting down paperwork he had gotten from his attorney and eating it. He was refusing to eat and refusing to sleep. He would go days on end refusing to sleep. He further broke the tablet that he used for text messages and phone calls. He went from making up to two phone calls a day as of April the 3rd, 2023, to not making any phone calls at all. To date, Richard M. Allen still has not made a phone call since April the 3rd, 2023.
I mean, this sounds exactly like what we did Hayward Bissell again. It was a repeat from mm-hmm. a couple of years ago, but he did the same thing when they got him into, got him into jail.
Yeah, he
went nuts.
He did throw a fit. He began acting strangely. I think the difference is Hayward Bissell was acting strangely from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
From the moment from the people that,
he
tried to kill from the beginning. And then when he went to the, was it Bryce that he went to?
Well, first he was in the Fort Payne jail cell.
Yeah, and he just like totally ruined the jail.
Yeah, they had to like come in and fix stuff.
Yeah, and then he goes to Bryce and comes back a completely different person. Mm-hmm. This guy.
Bryce is the state mental hospital here in Alabama.
Yeah. So Richard M. Allen is, that's not really the case with him.
Okay.
No one has, this is the first we've heard about.
He's not on the radar until this happens.
This is the first we've heard about any sort of mental health issues out of Richard Allen.
Well, it's like Katie said, though, that's the standard defense, right?
Yes. The documents go on to state that on April the 14th, 2023, Richard M. Allen was evaluated by two psychiatrists and one psychologist to discuss his turn in behavior and whether or not there was a need for involuntary medication. The panel would also discuss moving Richard Allen to a different facility that has a psychiatric unit. From that meeting, it was determined that Richard M. Allen did not need involuntary medication and that he did not need to be moved to another facility. Since that meeting, Richard M. Allen has begun to eat again and has begun to sleep. His behavior has begun to return to what it was prior to making the admission on April the 3rd, end quote.
So I wonder if he got explained that. I mean,
dude, we're fixing to put you in a psychiatric unit of prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you, in order to have an insanity defense, you have to be, you have to have those issues as you're committing the crime. Just because you're crazy, or I don't want to use that word, just because you develop mental issues.
Instability.
In prison, that just means like you're not competent to stand trial, and they'll work on you until you are. Like, you know, so I wonder if he got explained that
something happened, because after he met with these folks, he decided he would eat and sleep, and it was also being stated that he was wearing dirty clothes and tattered, torn clothes. The warden goes on to state that he was getting the same amount of clean clothes every week as every other inmate. Mm-hmm. He was being offered the same amount of showers every week as every other inmate. But if he's refusing to do it, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wear your dirty clothes.
Right.
He had actually more privileges in that segregation unit than the other inmates because he has a tablet where he can text, make phone calls, and download music.
Well, for a little while.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then he breaks it after this phone call with his wife.
Yeah, that's wild.
And then he starts eating his paperwork and not sleeping and not eating food.
Yeah.
But apparently the two psychiatrists and the psychologist did not buy any of that. Yeah. But the defense attorneys have got to do their job.
True.
All right. So let's talk a little bit more about Allen's defense attorneys. They are going to allege that the day after the phone call, they visited him in jail and that he appeared to be suffering from various, quote, psychotic symptoms, end quote, which they described as, quote, schizophrenic and delusional, end quote. Now, I would like to remind the attorneys that they are attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
They are just like me. They're not doctors.
Right.
Yeah.
They also allege that he has suffered, quote, memory loss, end quote.
That's convenient.
So have I.
Yeah.
Now, in their filings, Allen's defense attorneys include photos of Allen showing his supposed deterioration from the time before his arrest to this spring after he spent months in the Westville Correctional Facility. He's lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really the only difference. He does have a shirt on that's got something on it. and he looks thinner. But as I said, the warden said he's given clean clothes. Mm-hmm. The fact that he chooses not to shower and put them on, what do you want me to do?
Well, I think we've established that the only prison in the country where the food was ever any good was at Alcatraz.
Yeah, absolutely. They had
so, of course,
chef.
He lost weight.
Yeah. The defense attorneys also want to, they asked to inspect the correctional facility where he's staying. Mm-hmm. And they allege his mental capacity has deteriorated from the time that he's been there and that he's being treated worse than other inmates. And I just told you, he actually has or had privileges beyond the other inmate. Not every inmate gets a tablet where you can download music.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was the thing.
That's very strange. they have filed motions to suppress certain evidence in the case, including his mental health records. Any interviews that he has done while in jail and records related to his work. So they're trying to just suppress everything. Sure. They're doing their job.
If you're trying to suppress his mental health records though, wouldn't you be submarining your own case?
No, I'm sure there's nothing there. That's why they want him to suppress it.
Right. All right.
The defense was very big on releasing this affidavit. They did, the prosecutor was the one that wanted to not release the affidavit because of the witnesses. Mm-hmm. The defense was big on releasing this, but in the meantime, they're trying to suppress all these other things, the mental health record, any interviews in the jail, anything like that. They have challenged and tried to suppress ballistic testing on the Sig Sauer firearm that belonged to Allen. And despite the court releasing many documents, several of them remain sealed, including some records that detail names of juvenile witnesses and transport orders that will remain sealed for security purposes. Now, all of that I just read to you was a quote from an article, and I'll reference that in our show notes, but it's from the Chicago, NBCChicago.com news, where they had this really great article outlining everything.
Okay.
And so that's where I read a lot of that information that you can, we'll make sure that I put that in the notes.
Let me ask a question.
Yeah.
We're still not talking about exactly how the girls died.
Okay, I'm getting there.
Oh, really? Yep. Okay, because I don't know that. That's the one thing that was suppressed when we did this.
No one did until June.
Got it.
So this is from newly released documents. This is actually something that they filed, and this is an actual court document, so I'm going to try to... Court documents are boring. Mm-hmm. But I thought there was a lot of stuff in here. So
Go for it.
Now comes the state of Indiana, the prosecuting attorney, right? Here's what they would ask the court to deny all of these motions to suppress because of the following reasons. May 19th, 2023, the defendant filed a motion to suppress the evidence seized as a result of a search warrant executed at the home of the defendant on October 13th. The defense is saying that the search warrant was unreasonable and under Indiana and federal constitution that it lacked probable cause. So what they do is they go through and they describe all of the different probable cause that they had. So
to justify the search warrant.
Right. They say September 22nd, while reviewing the evidence in the investigation into the murders of Abby and Libby, investigators discovered an interview that was done with Richard Allen in 2017 by Indiana Conservation Officer Dan, and I want to say it's Dulin or Dulin, D-U-L-I-N.
Okay.
In that 2017 interview, Richard Allen admitted to being on the trail that day that they went missing. In that interview, he stated that he was on the trail between 1:30 and 3:30 p.m. On October the 13th, 2022, investigators invited Richard Allen and his wife, Kathy, to speak to them and follow up on that interview done in 2017. Both Richard and Kathy Allen came to the interview on their own. They were not under arrest. They were free to leave the interview at any time. So they're going to go through all of this. And during these interviews, Richard Allen is going to admit to things. He's going to admit that he owns guns, that he still had some guns in his home. He's going to admit that he was on the bridge during that time on that day wearing blue jeans, a blue or a black Carhartt jacket with a hood, everything that bridge guy was wearing. He's going to sit there in an interview and admit that. Now, in the meantime,
does he still not know that that photo exists? Because that photo is public record.
He does by 2022.
Okay. All right.
When he did this interview with this conservation officer in 2017, he did not know there was a photo.
Okay.
No.
Okay. All right.
So he's going to admit to all of this. He's going to admit being there because I believe, in my humble opinion, my humble expert opinion, mm-hmm. quote, that at this point in time, he knows there's a photo. It's been everywhere. He's seen the photo.
Yeah.
He's seen the drawings. And he knows that he was there, and he knows that his phone is probably going to ping there. He's right. got to know this. Mm-hmm. So he has to admit to being there. And he's already admitted in an interview that he was there. And that he was wearing what Bridge Guy was wearing. And that he was there at the same time that the girls were there.
And when said that his phone pinged.
When they went missing. I believe so. And yeah. I believe that's why he's saying he used his phone
yeah.
while he was there.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, while they are interviewing him, they're going to get a search warrant. Mm-hmm. And then
while he is at the police station, the perfect time.
They're scrambling to get.
Didn't they do John Wayne Gacy the same way? Didn't they get him in an interrogation room and then get a search warrant mm-hmm. to search his house while he was in the police station?
Yes. Think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they gathered that Richard Allen still possessed the firearms and knives and clothing that they were very interested in. So based on this information, they prepared probable cause affidavit with a search warrant for the home of Richard Allen. The probable cause affidavit covers all the information that law enforcement had gathered in the investigation up until October 13th, 2022. The investigators applied for the search warrant on the 13th, the same and the same was granted that day by Carroll County Circuit Court Judge Benjamin, I believe it's pronounced Diener, D-I-E-N-E-R. And so then they attach that as part of their exhibit where the judge signed off on it. So the defendant and his wife were asked to be out of the residence while the search warrant was executed. And they executed it around 5 p.m. on the 13th, and they completed it around 7:09 p.m.
So 2 hours digging around his house, and they know what they're looking for, like you said. They're looking for firearms.
Do you want to know what they got?
Yes. Go.
Here's a list.
All right.
Okay. One black Sig Sauer P226 40 caliber handgun.
Okay.
One 40 caliber cartridge from a keepsake box in the bedroom dresser. One 40 caliber cartridge from inside the gun, the Sig Sauer.
Mm-hmm.
Two magazines containing 40 caliber cartridges. Multiple sweatshirts, jackets, hats, gloves, boots. Numerous knives. Multi-tools. Multiple laptops. Multiple hard drives. Multiple flash drives and memory cards. Multiple cell phones. There was a carpeted area underneath the spare tire of his Ford Focus that they took a piece of. They took a swab of the driver's side of seatbelt, the lap belt and the shoulder belt of that Ford Focus, and two swabs from the passenger side of the carpeted floorboards. And that's what they took. It took them from 5 p.m. to 7:09 p.m.
So in 2 hours to get all of those very specific things, it sounds like they knew what they were looking for. They didn't. I'm no police officer, but it sounds like they knew what they were looking for. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what they got. And on April the 11th, that was back in October of 2022, and then they arrested him, and all of this has come. Then the phone call.
And the crime took place in 2014. So this is
17. Yep.
So this is 5 years later.
Yes.
Okay.
Fast forward to the April 3rd phone call with his wife, where he admits several times, according to these transcripts mm-hmm. that they have. On April the 11th, 2023, an inmate sends a letter to the clerk of courts. Now, Court TV matched this inmate's number to someone who has been convicted of child molestation. So just give you a little context.
All right.
This person. The letter states, quote, I am an inmate in the Westville Correctional Facility in the same unit that Richard Allen is being housed and awaiting trial. Richard Allen is being abused and mistreated along with other inmates in Westville Control Unit Restrictive Housing. There are corrupt officers and ranking officers calling Richard Allen a kid killer, teasing him that he has a visit from his family, that the phone is ringing on the GTL tablet, but then not letting him leave his space or answer the phone, like saying, oh, your family's here, and then saying nothing else, basically. All right, still quoting from the letter here, inmates telling Richard Allen to kill himself and threatening to kill him, and these inmates have made these comments in front of the warden, ranking officers, and officers. The staff has recorded on camera these inmates making threats, end quote. So Court TV was looking into this inmate. As I said, he's his inmate number that he gives matches someone who's been convicted of child molestation. After a further look into this inmate, they come to find out he is known as the, quote, jailhouse lawyer, end quote, filing ridiculous appeals for his own clemency, etc. So you can see that Court TV has some things on YouTube that you can watch regarding all these documents, and it's their panel of folks who dug into this particular inmate. So it's very common for him to write letters and make these claims, and but look at what he's claiming.
Yeah, that's...
And let's talk about that.
Okay. Today's episode is brought to you in part by A&W Outdoor Services. You know, they're located right here in Cherokee County, and I called Alan myself just a few weeks ago, and he and his crew came out to my house, pressure washed the whole thing. It looks brand new. Well, as brand new as my house can possibly look after 25 years. But all I did was call Alan at 256-706-7964. He and the guys showed up and cleaned up everything. It looked fantastic. The pollen has fallen a little bit since then. So if you haven't done this already, now's the perfect time to call Alan and A&W Outdoor Services at 256-706-7964 and let them do for you what they've already done for me.
It's time to plan your best vacation ever right here in Cherokee County, Alabama.
Many outdoor adventures await. Wet a hook in beautiful Weiss Lake, swing away at Cherokee Pines Golf Club, climb to the best view around at Cherokee Rock Village, hike the Little River Canyon National Preserve, take a days-long splash at Pirates Bay Water Park, and much, much more.
The Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce and Tourism has a full list of recommended lodging facilities, RV sites, and campgrounds, and they're all set up to suit your vacation needs, whatever they may be.
So come see us from wherever you are. And if you already live right here in lovely Cherokee County, plan your summer 2023 staycation with the Chamber by visiting cherokee-chamber.org.
Are you in the market for a full-time Weiss Lake home or recreational lot? Let Trini Davis and Elizabeth Powell put their all-star property group at Keller Williams Realty to work for you. Trini and Elizabeth are locals themselves, so they know the Weiss Lake area, and with over 40 years of experience, they're professional listing and buying agents, talented home stagers and photographers, and specialized marketing team will work to make your lakefront dreams come true. Check out the Keller Williams team on Facebook at All Star Property Rome. You can also visit at All Star Property Rome to browse their images on Instagram or give them a call at 706-844-7493. That's the All-Star Property Group with Keller Williams Realty at 706-844-7493. You can hit pause, call them now, and make your Weiss Lake dreams a reality.
What do you guys think? Is that abuse?
I have a thought.
Okay, what's your thought?
Well, it just seems to me like, and we've been doing this for over 2 years now, it seems like anytime we talk about a case where someone is accused of harming children or, God forbid, murdering children, when they get into a prison atmosphere, they are the worst of the worst, even as far as the other convicts are concerned. Absolutely. So I'm not surprised by anything that I've heard about the way that this Richard Allen is being treated,
right,
based on what he has been accused of.
No.
But to date, he is not convicted of that.
No, innocent until
But that's just how
guilty.
Prison works.
Correct, correct.
If they think that you killed some kids, then they're going to fuck with you the whole time.
Is he in a prison, actually?
He's in a Westfield correctional facility. He's in a segregation unit for his own protection.
Okay, so that sounds may have warranted. Been where they, just like where they had to send him. I was just trying to, because he's like awaiting trial currently.
So I guess bond was denied.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I guess so.
And so if you look at their what they're saying to him, calling him a kid killer, teasing him about his phone. I mean, what do you want the warden to do? Now, the warden can like, tell the guards, nice. Hey, cut. Don't tell somebody they got a phone call if they don't have a phone call. Don't tell somebody to kill themselves. You know, as far as the staff. But the other prisoners, what's he supposed to do?
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, there's nothing he can do. Yeah. Just hope that he survives. And if he is innocent one of these days, that he gets out without being killed in prison before he ever got his day in court.
Right.
Yep.
And it's just a known thing that that happens, as you said, when you're charged with these kinds of things. In my job, briefly worked with a jail program, and it was just a county jail program. Mm-hmm. And we did substance abuse and counseling services and things like that. So some of the inmates would be bused over to our program. And this one guy comes in one day and his knuckles are just beat all up. I said, you've been punching walls? What's wrong with you? He said, no, I got my turn with the pedophile this morning.
Really?
Yeah, and that was just county jail.
Mm-hmm. He's nonchalant about it.
We've all heard those stories. We've been doing this long enough, and you don't have to be in a true crime podcast situation to know that.
No.
If you've ever watched a movie or any sort of based on real life situation where something like this was even accused, you're guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah, and it really, because we do have to remind everybody that, you know, he's not gone to trial. And I am not holding any of this. The defense attorneys, like I said, they're doing their job.
Sure.
But then you got the prosecution and the state, they're doing their job too. Everybody's just, you know, this is pretty standard for a case like this.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So finally, the documents are going to reveal the following. Quote, autopsies of the girls ruled their death as homicides, and their wounds were caused by a sharp object. Mm. Investigators located Liberty German's iPhone 6S under her body at the scene and were able to recover a video, which was approximately 43 seconds in length. It was captured at 2:13 p.m. on February the 13th, 2017. The video depicts Abigail walking on the Monon High Bridge toward Liberty while a male subject wearing a dark jacket and jeans walks behind her. Near the end of the video, the man is heard in the video telling the girls down the hill. Articles of clothing were missing from the girls at the scene, including a pair of underwear and a sock. Investigators believe Richard M. Allen was the male depicted in the video saying, guys, down the hill. They believe Richard M. Allen was carrying his Sig Sauer Model P226 on that day due to the cycled round matching that firearm that was located within feet of Victim 2's body. They further believe he was carrying the Sig Sauer Model P226 from the audio from the video in which investigators believe they hear the sound of a gun being cycled, and on the victim's video, they are mentioning a gun. Investigators believe after that time, victim one and two were removed from the bridge by Richard to where their murders occurred. So they believe the gun was used basically to control them.
Right.
Get them down the hill.
And like you said, he cycled the weapon. It's like it's loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't think that he just exited a bullet out of the chamber, obviously, when he did that.
Right. And
it was to scare them.
What the autopsies revealed is basically they died by sharp objects. So they're thinking stabbing. That's why they seized so many knives from his home.
Hoping to find the one.
Mm-hmm. And that's all they've released. So the only thing we know is that, you know, there one of the girls, there was a pair of underwear missing and a sock. So that makes your mind go to other places. Yeah. But that's, you know, that's all they're saying. So you also have to look at the timeline of when they had the video of his car driving away and what he had time to do and what he had time to, you know.
And we talked about that a lot in the very first time that we talked about the Delphi murders.
And it was a fairly quick crime, it would seem, based on the timeline
and a random
that we have.
Was it random? I mean,
so far, I don't.
Seems random.
He worked at a CVS that
I just remembered that
some of the one family used. He had actually developed photos for them at some point in time.
I remember you mentioning that,
but I don't believe nothing has been revealed just yet. Any further connection?
Like that he was at work at noon that day, and he heard some talk about, "Hey, we're going to go walk the trail at 3 o'clock today."
Right.
And so he runs home and...
Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, that would be some possible speculation just based on what we know. Because who would have known, who could have known that those two girls were going to be taking that hike that day?
Yeah.
Not with too much
preparation.
Prior knowledge. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. All of that is still a mystery. And if it goes to trial... We will get a lot of those answers. If it doesn't go to trial, what happens then, Katie? If he decides to take some sort of plea deal, will we just not know anything after that?
I would imagine if he took some kind of plea deal, it would probably have something about.
You got to tell us what happened. Like, if you don't want to go to the chair or to the gas chamber, whatever is in Indiana.
Right. But would we know as the public?
Probably. They'd probably release that. Okay. I would think. I mean, especially with how much they've already put out in this case. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we have got it a little out of time, but because it's an active investigation. But I would imagine we would know.
Mm-hmm. I guess one thing that, and I'm just going to be the devil's advocate here and speak about all the people who are listening. My brain is going, why in the hell has it taken 6 years to find a guy who lived a mile and a half away?
A lot of people asking that. Who was interviewed in 2017?
Yeah. I guess maybe one day those facts, those details will come to light. I guess right now you can say either that the police are doing a very diligent job to make sure that they get it right. Or that at some point there was a screw up and it's taken. Well, they've been playing catch up ever since.
I would lean more towards the former. Than
I think
the
so,
latter.
Too. It seems like they've been very diligent.
You get one chance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't mess this up. But I wonder if it had anything to do with the fact that the interview was done with a conservation officer
a conservation officer is still an officer, I know, here in Alabama.
And I'm not saying that he did anything wrong.
Yeah.
He obviously did it right. He documented everything because they were able to go back to it and see all of this.
But maybe somehow that got the...
But I wonder if it got swept by the wayside with all of the tips and the interviews.
Because, you know, that you have your own confirmation bias. When if someone had it in their head that it's, you know, so-and-so, or Anthony Shaw, it's like, I'm just throwing out one. Like, you know, then you're focused on that and you're not really working every single angle because you think you've got it.
Yeah,
and you start small and then your circle gets bigger and bigger and bigger because they're found technically on someone else's property. So you definitely want to talk to the property owner.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've all seen the movie where the facts point you in one possible direction and maybe the investigators get tunnel vision and they only want to find the evidence that proves the conclusion that they've already reached, which is basically what Katie just said.
Yeah. And then,
confirmation bias.
Then you get, you know, your red herrings that, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe this has been a very good, valid attempt to not let that happen in this case. They've been very diligent and they've slow walked it. And some people are screaming, why don't we know anything? I remember when you did it initially, people up there were going, wait a minute.
And I remember you saying that a lot. What is going on? You know,
you wanted to know.
I wanted
to.
Well, now you do.
After this many years, I wanted to know something. And so, yeah, I feel, hey, what a great update. Thank
you.
Now you
do. Now you know, we know pretty much how the girls died. We don't know the extent to what all they had to go through before they died.
Right.
And that's horrible. Horrible for their families. And the folks on Court TV brought up such a wonderful point when I was watching this YouTube video of theirs. And what they said is it's going to be very difficult for the families moving forward because now it has shifted. It's no longer about Abby and Libby. Mm-hmm. It's now about Richard Allen.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. what he's having to go through. And that's going to be very, very difficult for them. Yeah. We just have to remember, you know, he's not going to trial. Yes. They have some really good evidence.
Do we have a trial date set?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we don't even know if it's going to be televised or anything mm-hmm. like that. So I guess all of that comes with once you have a date.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I mean, the charges have been formalized, but mm-hmm. still going through the courts. This is probably what Katie, discovery and filing motions for continuances and those kinds of things are still happening
match
right now
between the defense and the prosecution going on right now. It's very standard. I do know that his wife Kathy has sold their property. That's the mile and a half away from the Monon High Bridge. You could speculate as to why. It could be to afford the lawyers.
Yeah.
It could be for her own safety.
Yeah.
It also could be things may have changed for her on April 3rd when she's talking to her husband and he's...
Yeah.
And this is what's being said. I guess I should say allegedly that he admitted, but they've put this in formal documents that he admitted several times and that they transcribed it. It was being recorded. And they transcribed it, and
We just said that. Go ahead, Katie.
I was going to say, trial date has been set.
Oh, what is it? Oh, great.
It's a date range, but in January of 2024.
Okay, so
all right. So more updates to follow.
Yep. I plan on it.
And one thing that you said that I was going to say before I saw Katie with her phone, you know, we just had there was an update last week about a story that we have yet to cover about the Long Island.
Serial killer. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was just apprehended. A suspect was apprehended.
Yes. Yeah.
And within a week, his wife had filed for divorce. And it was that revelation. Holy shit, I'm married to a serial killer.
Yeah.
So I don't want to speculate that the same thing happened to Richard Allen's wife. But like you said, that April the 3rd phone call. Mm-hmm. And then she had a revelation. Now the property is sold. And, you know, as far as we know, there's a U-Haul backed up to her front door right now.
It could be several things.
Yeah. We'll just have time will tell.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's got to be extremely difficult for her. And Richard Allen has a daughter. So I don't know how old she is. I don't really want to say her name bring her up or anything.
Yeah. She had nothing to do with this.
No. And neither did his wife. It's got to be so difficult for them.
And maybe neither did he. We'll have to see.
We'll have to see.
Suspicious.
You're right, Scott. Mm-hmm. They have very, very good evidence. I think they probably have more.
They've certainly not gotten in a hurry about trying to just solve the case and make it go away. They've tried to do their due diligence. And, I mean, here we are.
Isn't it wonderful
six
to
years
see that?
Later. Yeah.
I mean, it
actually kind of is.
Forever,
depending based on what we do here, it is kind of a nice surprise.
To see that they are... This is such a cliche, but crossing every T and dotting every I.
I don't have a problem with how they're doing it so far. If it gets to justice in the end, because we talk about this every week on this show, a lot of times all that we get to, the good news at the end of every show that we do is, hey, somebody who died the way they shouldn't have got some justice at the end.
Exactly.
And we haven't been able to do that yet, but we're going to keep at it until hopefully one day we can with this particular case.
Right. And they definitely need to make sure that they prove that it was in fact Richard Allen, because if it is not, that's no justice for Abby and Libby either. So,
and it's an injustice to the Allen family.
It is. So it looks like a mountain of evidence. But mm-hmm. I'm no expert.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That has been established.
But anyways, I my thoughts and prayers go out to their families as this continues to roll on, because it's going to get, I think probably agonizing.
Yeah.
I don't even think there's a word.
I can't imagine. I hope that nobody that I know ever has to go through something like this.
Oh, I know.
We've talked about it enough that it's just, ugh, the thought of it.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. So that is our 2023 Delphi update. Thank you for allowing me to do that. I was actually supposed to do another topic today, and I texted you guys and said, do you guys mind if I do a Delphi?
Yeah, you phoned it like Friday. You're like, I'm doing something else. Is that okay? We're like, it's your show. Do what the hell you want. Yep. We don't care.
I just felt like there was enough to go through.
No, you did. That was perfect.
And especially finding out cause of death.
Yeah.
Because we just didn't know.
Yeah. When you said it, I realized that was one thing that stuck with me when we did it the first time was they were very close to the chest about how they were going to tell you what happened to the girls.
Yeah. And, you know, I kind of had a suspicion that it was not by a gunshot because I feel like people would have reported hearing a gunshot in that area.
Very true. Very
but
true.
That what the bullet that they found was not a spent round. So
right.
Anyways.
All right. So say something nice about us, please, on your social media platform of choice. Give us 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll do this again next week, right?
That's right.
Is that it? Are we done?
We're done.
Good night, everybody.